Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
We had wrestling in gym.
Oh, yeah.
That was not a joy. I was probably the only... I held a book during wrestling. When it was my turn to wrestle, I have a book out there. That's how into it I was.
And the Bulldog.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along here on a sunny, hot Thursday. Thanks for joining me. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation. Sneaky Joe, fresh off a fantastic turn of Two Bros Live with his
brother Lou.
From noon to three, is in our Amherst studios. I'm in my attic in North Buffalo, and joining us on the Western Hotline is Mark Schofield from the Touchdown Wire at usatoday.com. Mark, thanks for taking the time to join us again. I appreciate it very much. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Great to be back with you. Hope that attic is somewhat cool for you. Attics typically aren't this time of year.
We have, I bought a window unit AC on Memorial Day.
There you go.
Fearing that, you know, this was going to happen. So, although someone, I don't keep it super cool up here when I'm not up here doing the show, although it is a part of the house that we all kind of hang out in pretty frequently, but somebody turned it completely off when I came up here at 2:30 to get ready to start the show. So it was like 98 degrees when I turned on. I'm like, oh, I should lower the temperature so it cools down even more. 98!
That's a tough way to start the show, my friend.
Yeah, we're okay now, though. It's cooled off, so just in time for your appearance. So there's been a lot of news this week, in all sports and coronavirus and all that. I still think the biggest story of the week is Cam Newton signing with New England, and that's why we got you on here, was to kind of go over that. And we can get into specifics as we go here, certainly, Mark. How about in the big picture, like just, you know, your takeaway on this happening? I guess maybe a good first question is, were you surprised that the Patriots made this move after appearing like they weren't interested in adding to their quarterback room?
I mean, I think in one sense I was surprised because, you know, after they had decided not to explore free agent quarterbacks, after they had decided, you know, not to draft a quarterback, it really made it seem like, okay, they were going to forge ahead with Jarrett Stidham as sort of their plan for 2020 to see what they have in him. That caused me and others to write pieces such as, oh, Jarrett Stidham is the plan, apparently, for the New England Patriots. But many had sort of said at some point, you know, they would explore Cam Newton. And when it came down, you know, first initially on Sunday night, and then as we saw contract details actually reported out today, that it was indeed a league minimum contract with a lot of incentives in there that could get it up to $7.5 million. You know, you could see where the New England Patriots, given their cap position, would still be willing to make a deal such as this, because if you get anything close to what you used to see from Cam Newton back in 2015, maybe even 2017 before he had the shoulder and the foot injuries, then this is kind of a no-brainer type of contract. And so I think when you put the pieces together, it seems like this would be a move that they would make. Belichick has before taken options on veteran-type players, Rodney Harrison, Corey Dillon, you know, players like that, to see if they still have something left in the tank. And then, like with, for example, Corey Dillon and Rodney Harrison have panned out, with others like Albert Haynesworth and Chad Ochocinco didn't. So we wait to see what Cam Newton still has left here at 31 and coming off the two injuries. But putting the pieces together, it seems like this would be the kind of move that Bill Belichick would make and has made in the past.
How do you feel schematically? What kind of familiarity? I talked with Doug Farrar from also from USA Today's Touchdown Wire earlier this week, and he went deep even before we knew Newton was going to New England. Like, he wrote about Newton and the kind of offense he was playing in when he was most successful, and how 2018 was better than you thought it was. It just ended badly. But he mentioned this schematic fit with the Perkins Earhart offense, that there is some familiarity, even though, of course, stylistically, Newton could not be further from what Tom Brady has been.
Yeah, and Doug was kind of all over this, like, you know, early in the spring, talking about and writing about how, you know, Cam Newton would fit into what New England does schematically when you look at some of what he was asked to do in 2018 before the injury, before it sort of went south there. There's a lot of carryover from what they were doing in that offense in Carolina and what the New England Patriots asked their quarterback to do. And you're right, Bulldog, obviously. Tom Brady and Cam Newton are two completely different quarterbacks when it comes to playing this position. But I think what we see from Cam Newton in his athletic ability, his explosiveness as a ball carrier, his willingness to get involved with his legs, you know, kind of overshadows a lot of what he does from the pocket. I think that Cam Newton at times wants to be more of a traditional pocket passer. You look at, you know, you chart out where he releases throws from. The vast majority of those are from the pocket. He's more, I'd say, Ben Roethlisberger than Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson's running around at times. Roethlisberger's more the guy that wants to make throws in the pocket. I think that's more where Cam Newton wants to be. Now, I think the biggest questions that really sort of face New England, you know, if it is indeed Cam Newton as their starting quarterback, is what's going to be around him? You know, we have questions about the tight end room. We have questions about the wide receivers. Even have some questions at the running back and offensive line spots. And so if you do get a healthy Cam Newton who's ready to go, who's he going to be thrown to? I think those are perhaps the bigger questions than, you know, how does he fit in schematically? And the other thing is, you know, Josh McDaniels over his time in New England and even when he was in Denver with Tim Tebow, you know, showed an ability to adjust his offense to the kind of quarterback he had. You know, people bring up, obviously, that Thursday nighter that the Patriots had a couple of years ago where they had Jacoby Brissett on a short week, so they turned into almost an inverted veer option running attack just in the 4 days they had to get ready for that game. So I think they will be able to find a way to balance out what Cam brings to this offense, but what's around him might be just as big a question mark as everything else.
Yeah, let's pick at that a little bit here. I know they sunk money into interior offensive line this offseason, but as far as pieces, skill pieces, like what are we really, like who do you anticipate lining up? I mean, recognizing that Cam Newton just signed on Sunday, so they still could, I guess, make additions, but I don't know that there's, you know, starting wide receivers sitting out there other than Antonio Brown, and they already did that dance last year, so I'm assuming that that's out of the question.
Yeah, I don't think they're going back down that road, Bulldog. I mean, I think, you know, the receiver core, the receiver pieces are going to come from the guys that are on the roster, and obviously you can start with Julian Edelman. You know, I don't think there's any question what he brings to the table. The only issue there might be, you know, injury and, you know, length of service in the league. You know, we're seeing Edelman now, he's playing still at a high level, but he got banged up last year, and that obviously had an impact on the Patriots' ability to throw the football. You know, he's past the point where Wes Welker was when he had his injury and saw his decline and gave way to Julian Edelman. And slot receiver in New England's offense might be more comparable to, say, a running back because of the miles, the impact, all the yardage and targets and all the hits you're going to take working over the middle. So while Edelman is good at what he does, you do have some questions marks, concerns about his longevity there. And then beyond him, you know, we saw Mohamed Sanu with that trade that they made, giving up a second rounder to get him, sort of, you know, if you want to call it a panic move, it might be something in that vein that they made last year to acquire Sanu, and he couldn't get on the same page with Brady. He had a high ankle sprain. They obviously hope to get more from him this year. You're already seeing footage of him working out with Cam Newton, so perhaps there's something there. N'Keal Harry, the first rounder from last year, another guy that couldn't get on the same page with Tom Brady and seemed to sort of get isolated outside the Tom Brady circle of trust. So that's a big question mark, you know, what they're going to see from him in his second year. They added some guys, you know, Marquise Lee, another veteran-type player, Damier Byrd, who spent some time in Carolina with Cam Newton. So there are some potential pieces there, but the receiver group is still thin, you know. And then if you do have injuries to Sanu, to Edelman, it's still a thin group. They might look to get something out of the tight end spot more than they had last year. They sank two day two picks into the tight end group, Devin Asiasi from UCLA, Dalton Keene from Virginia Tech. But rookie tight ends take a while to acclimate to the league. Bills fans know this firsthand from Dawson Knox, who had some great moments and I think is going to be a good tight end in this league. But it takes a while to get up to speed with what you're asked to do in the NFL as opposed to college. So wide receiver and tight end, there are still question marks on this roster right now. And now maybe if he gets close to that 2015-2017 form, what Cam Newton can give them will elevate their play more than perhaps Jared Stidham would, but there are still question marks with these skill swaps.
Yeah, I wonder how much this might be a little far in for me, Mark, so forgive me, but I wonder how much Newton changes how teams will try to defend because of his, I guess we'll see if he can run, like how much of a weapon he can still be running the football. But right. I might think that defenses might creep a little more close to the line of scrimmage given Newton's ability to hurt them on the ground, and that make things easier in the passing game, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly an element to that. The teams that probably had their game plans for New England over the past, you could almost say 20 years, will have to throw those out the window, right? Because if you're a defense going up against Tom Brady, you're not taking a linebacker or a safety or anybody and using them to spy Tom Brady. You're not worried about Tom Brady. If Tom Brady wants to turn himself into a running quarterback against you, go ahead, let him. Like, if Tom Brady's going to try to beat you running the football himself, you'll take that all the time. Obviously, defending Cam Newton's a bit different. You do have to worry about that. You might have to, you know, we've all seen those plays where the Patriots empty the backfield and then they motion James White back in and then they snap the football and they hand it to him on that outside sweep type play. Well, if you're Matt Milano looking at that, you're not worried about number 12 keeping it himself and pulling it and running up the middle. But if you see that look as Matt Milano and you see Cam Newton back there taking the snap, it changes what's in your mind. And so I think you're right. Defenses will have to start incorporating that 11th player into how they're scheming things up on their side of the ball. And from New England's perspective, in the run game, maybe even in the passing game at times, they're not playing at 10 on 11 anymore with you know, Cam Newton back there. They can flip the numbers in their favor a bit. So you can see some different looks from the defense's perspective. You might have to account for the quarterback now as a threat with his legs. And that changes the numbers game. And like you said, it might open up some things for New England in the passing game and even the running game as well.
How about this? We're talking with Mark Schofield, by the way, USA Today's Touchdown Wire, usatoday.com. He's on the Western Hotline. There's been some maybe most of it embarrassing, about Newton's personality and his fit as a Patriot. What do you think of that? Like Newton, he definitely, there is, you know, he's got his detractors and I think they're not all to be just scoffed at and laughed at. You know, there's been some run-ins with reporters and some things. Like I've been myself, I would consider myself a Newton fan, but it hasn't always been easy to support or to even defend him, sometimes. How do you feel like that piece of this, is going to work out?
You know, I think, by and large, what's going to matter most to Bill Belichick is Cam Newton doing his job between the lines? You know, is he helping this team win football games? Or is he causing a distraction? You know, that dreaded D word that we hear often, you know, perhaps too often from NFL coaches. You know, a lot of people have made some about, you know, the celebrations, the Superman stuff and things like that. I think Bill Belichick would be the first one to tell you, and people unearthed, you know, Stephen Ruiz over For the Win at USA Today unearthed, you know, a video clip of Belichick addressing the Patriots locker room and saying, you shouldn't celebrate. You know, think about all the work they put in to get you to this point. Like, if you make a big play, you should be excited, you know, given everything it took to get you here. So the celebrations and stuff like that, I don't think that will be an issue. You know, like you said, Bulldog, there have been some run-ins with reporters and some, you know, different behavior at times at the podium and the outfits and things like that. But we're talking about Bill Belichick, who at one point addressed a press conference saying we're on to Cincinnati 15 straight times. Like, the bottom line is he going to help them win games? If so, he's going to be on the field, and it's going to be no big deal. If he can't help them win games, then he's not going to see the field. If it's a situation where Cam Newton's playing at, like, the 2017 level, but he's being colorful off the field, I don't think Belichick's going to sit him down because of that. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, I was thinking about times he's benched players Wes Welker, that foot comment, that joke he made about Rex Ryan before a playoff game a couple of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, he sat him down for all of one series, I think. Like, if you can help the team win, Belichick's not going to worry about it. I think the only culture thing that matters in that locker room is whether they can win games with you or not.
Yeah. What do you think this does to the division? I mean, the Bills have mostly been talked up as, and I think the betting lines reflected them as the favorite. And now, like, Newton, obviously at quarterback, you know, we just spent 20 minutes here talking about what is still unknown about it, and his health is obviously the biggest single factor in all of that. But it moved the needle. The New England is maybe considered a co-favorite again. Like, is that legitimate to you?
I mean, I if you would ask me, you know, who's the favorites of the AFC East, you know, last Friday afternoon, I would have told you, look, it's Buffalo. You look at New England breaking in a new quarterback. You look at Buffalo and the moves that they've made. I think, again, that Stephon Diggs acquisition, I think it's huge for that offense. I think if you could get, you know, Josh Allen to take one more step forward as a quarterback with that defense, they're the favorites in the AFC East. You know, now with this acquisition of Cam Newton, I think maybe New England closed the gap a bit. But I wouldn't sort of elevate them to co-favorites in the AFC East until we know what Cam Newton we're going to get. You know, because if we're getting the guy that's close to the 2017, 2015 form, then yeah, now we've got a real sort of fight in our hands in the AFC East. You know, but if he's still struggling with injuries, struggling with ball placement, if he's not as effective as he can be with his legs because of those limitations and injuries, then New England's still going to have some problems, particularly with the schedule they have this year. And so until we see this play out, get a couple of games in, I'm not ready to move them that way, all the way back up to, say, co-favorites in the AFC East. But I think, you know, the window, you know, the gap between the two teams was narrowed a bit.
How do you feel? I mean, obviously the focus of this conversation, rightly so, has been on Newton and the offensive side of the ball. On defense, I you know, there were significant departures again. I know, you know, Belichick's always managed to plug holes, but they lost 16 and a half sacks, I think it is, to free agency.
Yep.
Between Van Noy and Collins and maybe someone else, an interior lineman whose name has escaped me. I know the secondary is really stacked and intact, and that I respect, but how do you think the defense is going to stack up?
You know, because this was one of the things, Bulldog, when it was looking like it was going to be Jarrett Stidham's show, the thought was, well, their defense is going to have to be great. They're going to have to pitch shutouts and things like that, which we all know is next to impossible. But given the way the game is played right now, you can't shut opponents out. The game's tilted towards the offense these days. But like you said, look, they lost Danny Shelton on the interior. They lost Jamie Collins. They lost Kyle Van Noy. They lost Daron Harmon. Like, those are some big departures and big shoes to fill. And yes, you know, they have a deep secondary, and they've added some guys. They added some guys in the draft, you know, the kid from Alabama, the kid from Michigan. So they added some guys that can pass rush. They saw enough from Chase Winovich last year in some moments where they think he can be sort of a situational edge rusher that can give you some pressure off the edge. So they've got some guys they can plug in, but they won't be able to, you know, perhaps pitch those shutouts like we thought they could do. The difference now is, you're not having to make up for what Jarrett Stidham's doing. If Cam Newton is the player you hope he can be, you don't have to be perfect as a defense. You know, perhaps the offense can pick you up if you give up a touchdown, if you give up a big play or something like that. It's not that pressure on the defensive side of the ball to have to go out there and be perfect because you're trying to protect Jarrett Stidham. Now it's a guy that's won an MVP, that's been to a Super Bowl, that can make some plays on his own. And so maybe it takes the pressure off that defense a little bit.
And how about the division lastly here? I mean, overall, we got the Bills, Patriots. Is it clear the Jets and the Dolphins are bringing up the rear, or do you think one of those teams could surprise?
I mean, I think these are the two best teams, you know, the Buffalo and New England. I think that both Miami and the Jets have made some good moves this offseason. Obviously, look, the Dolphins had a ton of money to spend, number one, and they did. They got Kyle Van Noy. They got Byron Jones. You know, they added Shaq Lawson. They added a lot of names to that offense and defense in free agency. Then they had the Dolphins did a ton of picks. They had Tua. They had the cornerback from Auburn. You know, they had the offensive tackle in the first round as well, three first-rounders. That's a big injection of talent. Now, they might still be a year or two away from putting the pieces together, but I like a lot of what Miami did. With the Jets, it comes down to two things, I think. can that offense coalesce around Sam Darnold? Can he finally live up to expectations that were there for him pre-draft? And can Adam Gase sort of keep that roster together? You're seeing, you know, obviously Jamal Adams is unhappy and there's thoughts of trading him. It doesn't seem like this is the best situation right now in that locker room, given what we're hearing, you know, with Jamal Adams and others. So there's a lot of question marks there. I think because Miami might be a year or two away and because the Jets were wondering how they're holding it together, if at all, you'd have to say the Buffalo and the Wings are the two better teams in this division.
Yeah. Adams, he wants to be paid more. The part of this is he wants to be paid more than I'm forgetting the name of the linebacker who signed in free agency last year with them.
CJ Mosley.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Look, I think Jamal Adams looks like a fantastic player. All right, no question. Versatile, size, speed, all, ball skills, whatever, right? That kind of money for a safety, I don't know. Safeties aren't running backs, but I'd really have a hard time, I think, signing a guy to that big a contract.
You know, it is a lot of money to put to a safety. I think Adams would argue, you know, his camp would argue that, you know, he does more than just line up 15 yards off the ball. Like, he can help against the run and things like that. But you're right. I mean, that's a lot of money to put to a safety. You know, safeties don't typically get those kinds of deals. You know, he would make the case that he's a different example, but a lot of money to put to a one position, and yet I don't see that situation ending well at all.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for this. We really appreciate it. Stay safe on the 4th here, and we'll look forward to visiting again down the road, man.
Sounds great, Bulldog. Always great being with you. Stay safe. Have a great 4th.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. That's Mark Schofield, the Touchdown Wire at usatoday.com. Become one of our favorites and a go-to on the Patriots and the league in general as well. All right, we'll take a timeout. Lines are going to be open. If you got a thought on, well, I know it's an hour and a half ago now, but what we talked about at the outset of the show, kind of reset that. The news about attendance in the NFL, should there even be a season, of course. It's looking more and more like the best case scenario is going to be some limited attendance, certainly not expecting full houses. And we'll kind of lay that back out as we get moving here. If you got a thought on that or anything you've heard here in the last hour, please feel free. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation. Sneaky Joe will have the update, and then we'll be back for more right after this on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When the starting roles got eaten up in that first week or two of free agency, I honestly think it was more of him taking a step back and say, you know what, let me reassess my situation. Carolina, you know, I wanted to be there, but clearly they didn't want me there. And there was a $19 million deal right there the last year of that deal that I don't know Carolina or he were comfortable with. But at the same time, he's now paying, you know, $550 base and a lot of incentives too, which is remarkably low in my opinion, to play for Bill Belichick. And I think that's the wild card there. I'm not sure if he would play for any other team for that amount.
That is John Ellis from One Panthers Place on with the DiBiase boys earlier this afternoon. That's Two Bros Live?
Wait. Yes, sir. You got,
Two
you
Bros
nailed
Live.
It.
Right.
Two Bros Live.
Right. Joe and Louis DiBiase. Doing their thing. And did I catch that at the end here? You bullied.
No,
you pressured strong-armed? What do you prefer here?
If we're talking about the Premier League selection that he made, I wanted no part of him making the choice that he did. I would say our esteemed producer Corey Griswold is the one that kind of bullied him towards Chelsea as being the choice. I understood the argument, but nobody likes... Jeremy tweeted this out. Nobody likes the guy who likes Chelsea. So, I'm not happy with his decision.
We'll talk to Nick Mandola in an hour, and maybe this is a question he can help me answer, because I don't know enough of this stuff. Why does nobody like the guy that likes Chelsea?
I don't know. The guy who likes Chelsea is just... It's not quite the bandwagoner that I think some of the other teams are, but that feels like what it is a lot. And there's been players there that I don't know, this drive. Diego Costa is probably the front of the line for this, of players that just drive you just crazy. Chelsea always seems to have a guy or two like that. So, it's been some of the individual players they've had as well. I think Costa's definitely number one for that, though.
I got you. Right. Okay.
They do have Pulisic now, which is kind of flying in the face.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. Now, whether you supported your brother's selection, what I was getting at was, did you push him to pick a team?
Yes.
So you could have this you know, at least have him to sort of enjoy this with.
Yeah, I did. He is not like a crazy soccer fan, but he gets very into it whenever the FIFA World Cup rolls around. And he'll go to with us when we go to like soccer bars or whatever to watch Champions League, or if there's some big game, like he'll tag along, but he's never really had a team. So, yeah, I kind of bullied him. I'm like, you want to get into it, and like you've had a tough time getting into it, it's because you don't have a team. If you have someone to root for, it just makes it 10 times easier to turn the game on and stick with it.
Yeah, for sure. I get that. Yeah. So I'm assuming Man United outranks Chelsea as like a horrible decision, right?
Yes. I would have been more upset probably. I told him, like, he's like, Man United, is that an option? I'm like, if you want to be a riding shotgun with the Cowboys, Yankees, and Laker fans, who I feel like are 90% of who likes Man United, you don't want to go down that path. But
you should have let me talk to Lou. You got me in touch with him.
Would have made sure not to let that happen.
I could have sold him on the virtues of being a backer of Man United.
He's
I'm so steeped in the traditions of fandom.
At least you did it for another reason. Like, the video game reason is a reason that I can, I don't hate that reason, I guess.
Right, I didn't just look at the table and pick a team.
Right.
Or, like, look at the rosters and pick a team. It just sort of, the video game picked a team for me. I know that's super lazy, but, I mean, that's just how it went, and, here we are. Okay. So, of course, none of the people that were on the team when I started playing that game are even, on the team anymore. Maybe Martial might have been there, I think. No, I don't think so. I'm thinking of Valencia, I think. Okay. I don't think anybody's there. Well, cool. I hope you guys had a fun time, and it's cool that your brother chose a club, whether it's the right club or not.
It was the reasoning, too. He did it because he likes being the villain, and that is that's not sitting well, but it's all right. I'll get over it.
Okay, so he figures he'll get, like, if nobody likes the guy who likes Chelsea,
that's why he wants
that works for him. Okay,
yes.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, hey, lines are open, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Here's where we started today. I was going to, just lay this back out. And, if we get some response to it, that would be cool. I do think it is significant news, while, a big part of what I had to say earlier today was that it shouldn't really come as any kind of a surprise, that it's looking more and more like attendance at NFL games, assuming a season goes off. We also had the news about the preseason being chopped in half, basically, right? The first and fourth preseason games have been eliminated, and so they're already taking a step to try to I don't know, cut down the number of times that teams are going to be getting together. I mean, that's one way to look at it. They're also probably going to tell you that it's more about giving teams more opportunity to work on themselves because they haven't had a normal off season, and that, you know, that holds, I think, some water as well. But the news that came across my Twitter feed last night was when the state announced there would be zero attendance allowed right now for professional sporting events. And, you know, I was included in a in the Twitter messaging there from Mark Poloncarz. Like, he tagged me in that information, so I saw a lot of the responses, and what I saw was a lot of Bills fans really, really angry about the news. And, you know, the first thing I thought, and I reached out to Mark Poloncarz, the county executive, to clarify, is that, like, this isn't a permanent announcement, right? Like, I'm assuming that this is something that can be modified or changed if you know, the situation warrants. And of course that was right. So, you know, as of right now, if the Bills were playing on Sunday, you wouldn't be allowed to go at all. No one would be allowed to go. They don't play for another 2 months, really. These preseason games will be a little bit before that, maybe like a week or two before that. But nonetheless, there's still a good amount of time between now and then. So that could change. But something else that Mark Poloncarz clarified to me was that he knows. He said, let me read it exactly here. I know for a fact that the NFL is preparing teams and issuing capacity restrictions to teams and making it known that you have to be preparing for fewer fans to beat your games. And look, a big part of this shouldn't have been any kind of a surprise thing from my standpoint was based on, I mean, just look around, you know, like read the news. Large portions of the country are having either a renewed struggle or a first time, big time struggle with this virus. You know, we tend to think about us, and of course New York City was severely, severely impacted in March and April, and we were, I think, rightly very, very nervous and took necessary precautions here in our part of the state to try to stop that and flatten the curve, and I think that that worked. And you're seeing things be very stable in this part of the country, but that is not the case in a lot of the country right now, even the majority of the country right now. And that's a reality that, to me, should be inescapable at this point. So being surprised about any pronouncement about gatherings of 20, 30, 70,000 people, there should be no surprise there. And, you know, that and the fact that season ticket holders, we talked about earlier this week, we even took calls on it, have begun to hear from the Bills, and the Bills are explaining options that ticket holders have. If they don't want to partake, it may turn out that they may not be allowed to, but I think the Bills are starting to try to prepare for at least some percentage of their fan base not being allowed in the stadium. And that was something that we were talking about this week. And, you know, not that everyone's going to get their news from this show, but there was that, and there was the Canadian piece, which we talked about early this week as well, with our buddy John Crick in the Toronto Sun writing about how Canadian Bills season ticket holders had started hearing from the team last week and being advised that you may not be able to get across the border, and here are your options. So none of this is, it should be that jarring, I don't think. I guess it really comes down to whether or not you're respectful of the whole, all the precautions that have been taken to begin with regarding the virus. And if you're not, then maybe you're outraged about this. And it's another thing to be mad about. And, you know, you're entitled to that, you know. But I just have a hard time. I have a hard time at this point comprehending that like reasonable adult people don't recognize the seriousness that is still represented by this virus. I know that, you know, we live in a world that is very divided, but this just does not seem like something that you that there should be a lot of divide of opinion about, because I think the proof is obvious of how serious it can be. It you know, I say it never got that bad here, but there are hundreds of people who died here because of it, and there are hundreds of thousands who have died across the country because of it. And they're not all just old people who were in nursing homes. There's a large gap represented between the elderly population that's died and the total of people who have died. So lots of people who aren't quote-unquote at risk have suffered from this and have even perished from this. And I struggle, again, intellectually to understand why that's so difficult for people to comprehend, but here we are. So that's the news. The big deal is, really, when you get right down to it, is how do you feel about football with no fans? You know, you can strip away the politics of it. If that's going to be the situation, either no fans or some limited attendance allowed, maybe in a best case scenario, and maybe that will vary market to market depending on how things are going in that market at the time the games are supposed to be played. I don't know. We'll see. But it seems like almost a foregone conclusion now that if there is attendance at all, it will be limited in NFL stadiums. And how do you feel about that? Just as a football fan, you know, most of us, more of us than not, watch these games on television anyways. And I'm wondering how you feel about the idea of there being either no fans or a limited number of fans. And we can get into that as we go here. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation. We'll take a time out here and be back right after this on WGR.
Adding Stephon Diggs to that passing attack is going to help, because Diggs, to me, he's a top, maybe even a top five wide receiver in the NFL, like overall. But the question is, can Allen start hitting that deep ball? And that's what's going to separate it, because Allen was arguably, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I want to say that he was the second worst deep ball passer in the league last year. So if he starts hooking up with, you know, John Brown too, he could stretch the field. But with Diggs and John Brown, and he gets those passing numbers elevated just a little bit, he absolutely has a top five ceiling.
That is Mike Tagliere from Fantasy Pros on with the Two Bros Live, Joe and Lou DiBiase.
Nailed it.
Earlier today. How are you? I mean, it's good that you had that and you had Mike on your show today to get that fix. I mean, it's Thursday. It's almost 5 o'clock. We're not here tomorrow. And, I mean, you know, Mike's been off all week. I mean, no. I feel like you must be just in there just gritting your teeth
just
getting through this week without any fantasy conversation on the air or off.
I'm basically just talking to the wall in here, just asking, hey, is Josh Allen more valuable than Carson Wentz in a dynasty league? Like, yeah, I'm basically talking to myself in here for the last the whole week. But I got it out of my system with Mike for sure.
Good. Well, that's what message boards are for, Joe.
That's where I text someone, or really what it's become is I've just been rapid offering people trade offers, because instead of like getting the talk out of my system with Mike, I'm just like, I'm just going to go ahead and offer this and see what this guy thinks. Maybe that'll spark a conversation. But
I did. I heard from Mike today. He texted me. He texted me yesterday to wish me happy birthday, and I certainly appreciated that. Today, get a load of this, Joe. He asked me a question about accessing the work email from home.
Okay.
He asked me a technical question. Type question. Yeah. And I gave him an answer that worked.
Really? So not only was it tech advice, it was tech advice that worked.
Yeah.
It's the app thing, right? Like, you got to go through. Like, there's a whole new secondary process of verification.
I don't know.
I think
that's right. And in order to have it, like I've had it, Mike, I don't think has he doesn't want like the work email on his phone. So I don't think he has the no. We switched over recently from one to the other, and I lost a million contacts in the process. Thank you, Entercom. So I've always had that on my phone and my iPad, but there have been times where I've needed to get into, like, change a password or something. And you sort of need to get into the actual, you know, the actual, like, the account that I have on the desktop, say. And I had an address that I've used to do that, and it's worked repeatedly for me. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know if this is going to work for you, but it worked for me. And I sent it to him, and he's like, oh, my God, it worked. I'm like, this is a landmark occasion.
Wow.
That someone had a tech question, and I not only answered, but correctly, like, it was helpful. This does not happen. Like, I'm the guy who is ordering a movie from Apple TV, and like it says, like, okay, you just purchased this, and then there's an error and it won't load, and I'm ready to throw the remote through the television, right? Like, what do you mean? You just took my $8,
yeah,
give me my movie. And Leo's like, well, sometimes that happens. It'll be there eventually. And I'm like, I don't want it eventually. I'm drunk right now. I want to watch it. Wait, that came out wrong. What I meant to say was, no, look, this happened last night. We ordered a movie, a music movie, a documentary that I really wanted to watch with Leo. And so we're like, it's my birthday. Like, all right, this is it. We're all set. Great. Oh, there it is. It's there. Okay. We ordered it and it wouldn't work. And I was like, I'm beside myself. What do you mean? I just kept hitting the buttons over, and he's like, you got to stop. It's not going to work, Dad. It's how it goes sometimes.
You just got to slap the side of the TV. I think that's the fix for that, I think.
You still do that even though they're mounted on the wall?
Yeah, just slap the side of it. There's always going to be a positive result from that, of course.
So chucking the remote through the center of the screen, not advisable?
That's my plan B if the first option does not work.
All right, good to know. All right, we're up against the top of the hour. We'll take a timeout here. Mike is on vacation, although he does now have access to work email, thanks to me. I am the Bulldog. Sneaky Joe will have the update, and we'll keep her rolling along here on a sunny, hot Thursday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.